This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again this time, this morning, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. So it's good to have you folks with us at this time. And I want to give you my mailing address quickly. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. And I would like to hear from you. The Old Trailblazers oftentimes appreciate sitting down and opening your mail. You don't know how much it encourages me. You folks who hear me on a regular basis, you can write me too. You folks there in Algiers and Marrero and Harvey and Picayune and Hattiesburg and Mobile and Jackson, Mississippi, wherever you hear the Old Trailblazers, our local folks we call them, we'd like to hear from you. We're bringing you a study now, have been for quite a while, in the book of Revelation, and came down to the fifth verse of the 15th chapter in our last study, and it says, "And I looked," speaking to John here, "I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony of heaven was open." Here we see the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven open. And when Moses had finished the tabernacle and Solomon had finished the temple, there came a cloud, the Shekinah glory of God that filled the temple. The cloud means grace, God's kindness and love in Christ Jesus manifested to fallen men. When this temple of testimony was opened, John said in that eighth verse, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. Smoke means judgment. There is no mercy here in this temple. And John said, no man is able to enter into that temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. These seven angels, according to verse 7, have seven golden vials, which means bowls, full of the wrath of God. They live for who liveth forever and ever. The day of the wrath of God has come, and the vine of the earth is ripe. Iniquity is full. The day of grace is over, and God comes roaring out of Zion to make a quick work of His judgment upon the nations of the earth who have rejected His Son, counted His blood an unholy thing, and done despite unto the Spirit of grace, according to Hebrews 10:28. Laugh, if you will, my friend. Scoff, if you will. My man, that's your privilege. That's what we have, that privilege to do that. Make fun, if you will. Listen, but that's your choice. But remember, the day of judgment is coming. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Prepare to meet thy God, according to Amos 4:12. Hell is moving to meet thee at thy coming. You who have rejected the mercy of God in Christ, now must meet the God of wrath, the God of justice, the God of judgment, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, I wish we had words to describe those things. But now we're going to look at another subject, so to speak, the wrath of God. Have you ever studied the wrath of God? Have you ever gone back there and read through the Old Testament where the wrath of God fell there in Noah's day, where the floods came? Those folks perished. All of those millions of folks perished. Then go look there how that the plagues of Egypt. Oh, the plagues that fell upon the Egyptian, how they died, and how they died in the Red Sea. And look there at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look how they died there. And look there at old Korah and his family, how they went down to hell alive. Those things, my friend, are not just little incidental things. That's the wrath of God. And listen, in the 15th chapter of Revelation, we found when the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, that seven angels came out of the temple. In their hands were golden bowls full of the wrath of God. When they came out of the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. This temple in heaven is a literal temple. For in Hebrews 9:23, Moses was commanded to make the tabernacle after the pattern. In our study of the book of Revelation, we've seen this temple first in Revelation 8:3, and then again in Revelation 11:19, and we see it now again in Revelation 15:5. The temple in Revelation is always connected with judgment. When Moses had built the tabernacle and completed it, we read there in Exodus 40:34, then a cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the meeting because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. Again, when Solomon had completed the temple according to the directions given by David, set forth there in Chronicles, set for 2 Chronicles 7, the glory of Jehovah filled the house. But here, in Revelation 15:8, we see a fearful contrast. For the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, which means judgment. I wish every one of us could understand that when men and women reject the mercy of God in Christ, there is only left one thing, and that is the wrath and judgment of God. Now, my friend, I ask you, I ask folks here in my congregation, under the tent, now wherever we go, there in the mission places, I ask you, if you reject the grace of God, if you reject God's Word, if you reject the truth, if you reject the preaching of the gospel, if you neglect your soul, what hope do you have? What hope do you have? Many, many, many of you have told me that you believe that there is a literal hell. And I believe it, and I teach it, and I preach it. But many of you tell me that you believe it, but yet you reject everything in that could help you, or everything that could be a benefit to you in coming to Christ. You stay away from the services. You give up the service nights for a ball game or for a television show. You give up the Sunday morning services to sleep in late or to lay back in your chair and miss the service when the broadcast comes on. Oh, you may be sitting there, but snoring like a log. You miss those things, my friend. Oh, but listen. Listen, my friend. And I wish our country could know the end of her godless ways. I wish our nation, this great nation of ours, surely we are blessed, surely. But we're not a Christian nation, my friend. We are a godless nation. This nation is a godless nation. Oh, I know. I know that we have a mental image of Grandma and Grandpa. You know, they were faithful folks, and they probably were. But those days are gone, my friend. This world is, this nation of ours is scattered out. Our young people now are hungering and thirsting after the lust and pleasures of this world, running after those things as a whole. Our nation has drifted apart, drifted away from the old path, the old truths. And old Pastor Trailblazer used to cry, "Let's get back to the old path." But that's not going to happen, my friend. It's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. You say, Trailblazer, you preach a mighty doom and gloom picture. No, I'm bringing you the truth. You say, what should we do? We should start today. Turning to the Lord. Our nation, our politicians, our educators, our officials ought to turn to the Lord. Now, our Congress and all of those Supreme Court outlawed even the Ten Commandments in a courthouse. My friend, hell won't be hot enough. Oh, listen, my friend. Hell won't be hot enough for somebody to do that such a thing. And I know they're blinded, but listen. Before we look at the 16th chapter of Revelation, which sets forth these seven last plagues that God pours out without mercy, I want us to see how God hates idolatrous worship. Oh, idolatrous worship. Through the reign of the Antichrist, the whole world will be brought to worship the beast and his image, except God's elect. You can never understand this 16th chapter until you have some concept of the hatred of God for sin and God's hatred of idol worship. That we may understand these seven plagues, there's a few things we must look at and must keep in mind. I wish you hope you stay with me now. Firstly, according to Revelation 13:8, the whole earth, except God's elect, has turned to worship the beast and his image. And God's hot displeasure must be manifested. The sin of the earth is beyond endurance. The whole earth is turned to idol worship. And the one aim is to keep God the Father, from setting Christ on his throne at Jerusalem. Jehovah of hosts says, "Vengeance is mine," in Hebrews 10. God has been long-suffering as the world has mocked him and despised him by devil worship, Satan worship, idol worship. Let me tell you something, my friend. God hates idol worship in any form or fashion. He has said in his word, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, my friend, I wish you'd take note of that. What are you worshiping? Oh, you say, well, I don't bow down. No, but what are you dedicating and devoting your life to? Is it a life of pleasure? That's an idol. Is it some secret sin? That's an idol. My friend, listen, your table manners could be your idol. Guard yourself and eat more than you should. That's an idol. Oh, but listen. He has said, I am Jehovah thy God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Oh, my friend, our God is a jealous God. He does not want, will not tolerate, will not put up with his people whom he created serving other gods. No, he'll be put down. You can do it. You go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Live your life. Throw it away. Running, chasing after those things. Not having God to rule over you. But listen, I know folks who will tell you, oh, I have this picture before me, and I have this little image before me to remind me of God. But listen, that's clearly an indication that you do not know God, that you do not know the Lord, and that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Christ said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You say, well, it's not good to have a picture of this so-called Jesus on the wall in my office, in my schoolroom. No, sir. Why? Because folks get a mental image of that thing. That's what, who knows what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like, my friend? You don't know. Can you tell me what the Lord looked like? You cannot. There's no place in God's Word it describes. No, sir. Moses could only look on his backside. No, my friend, that's all man-made. And if you set that mental image, and I know when I was a kid, I did that, I would see pictures of Jesus, so-called, somewhere in someone's home. We didn't have them in our home, but you'd find a book somewhere. Now they have Bibles with all of those pictures of Moses. And I saw one Bible where they had movie stars as Moses and Joseph and all of those things. And well-known movie stars lending themselves to those people to publish them in Bibles. Oh, listen, my friend, that's an idol worship. All of those things will be cast out of the Lord's sight. Listen, you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth when you have this picture or image or stone before you. It's purely an idol worship, and God hates it. You can make an idol of your family, your children, your home, your job, your dog. For God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. And you can make an idol of your experience or vision or dream. Many an individual worships an idol, the creation of his own imagination. And then we get to talking about those animals. During the storm, I never saw such a mad rush, so much publicity about folks. And I love dogs and cats, my friend, I do. But I'm not on worship one of them, and I don't treat them like a human. But my friend, that's idol worship in a sense. If you let that control your life and all you can talk about is your dog and your cat. But listen, the Lord won't have all that. No, sir. The time you spend doing that, you could spend worshiping the Lord, thanking the Lord for saving you, thanking the Lord for awakening you, thanking the Lord. You say, old Trailhead, you're just an old fool. I know that. Nobody knows it better than I do. I am. Just let me be a fool for Christ's sake, my friend. And you take issue with God's Word, not me. No, sir, my friend. And we're going to look in our next study about this fact. Rebellion must be crushed. Rebellion against God must be put down, my friend. No individual in rebellion will ever be saved until that's gone. Oh, no, it must be broken. Remember my address? The old Trailblazer Post Office Box, 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.